welcome to our regular scheduled meeting. Nice to see some familiar faces out in the audience. I'm actually nice to have everyone here versus just Zoom. So welcome to our board meeting. It's 7 o'clock. I'd ask the clerk to take the roll call, please.
Trustee Bachner.
Here.
Trustee Gillis.
Here.
Trustee Vasquez.
Here.
Trustee Brennan.
Here.
Trustee Johnson.
Here.
Trustee O'Connell.
Here.
President Medici.
Here. So we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance and then telephone. Yeah, okay. If we can all please stand to say the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, so before we get to the Okay, since we've got two people on the telephone, both one working in the car and one working in New York. So I'd ask the board to move to allow both Rez and Lisa to be joining our meeting telephone.
Make a motion to allow Trustees Gillis and Vasquez to join the meeting telephonically.
Great. Second. Great. If I can get a vote on that, please.
Trustee Gillis?
She's not allowed to vote yet. She and Trustee Vasquez are not yet.
Okay, that makes sense. Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes. Okay, great. Okay, thanks. So we have two citizens' comments. We have Phyllis and Gretchen. So I don't know if Phyllis is by Zoom. Hi, Phyllis.
Hi there. Okay. How are you, everybody?
Go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and speak.
Okay. I'm at 411 Ashland Avenue, just south of Lake and Lathrop. And people here in my condo are writing me questions. So part of what I want to say is coming from them. I'm speaking for them. I see last month that I just looked at the minutes, and it said that Lake and Lathrop, the person who was here, talked about the weeds. They're still there. My neighbor, Judith McDevitt, writes, let me see what she writes, let me find it. She says, the weeds are still there, they're blooming. And that's causing an allergy problem. It might also be a fire hazard. They've done okay with the house that was torn down. They've kept that mode, but that the big lot that we see is not being taken care of. Also, the draperies or whatever you call them, the material that's hanging from the chain link fence is falling down again. So they need to be good stewards of the land and the area that they are on. They're responsible for this. Also, I know I wrote you letters, all of you letters last week, saying that I don't know if they're here today to speak. I hope they are. I think when you asked them to come this month and they said, well, we will if we can, that's not acceptable. And no one on this board should have accepted that as an answer, I think. You're telling them you want to hear a report, and they need to give you a report, period, end of discussion. The other thing I thought they said was that the lending practices have changed. Something has changed about them. And so that is why they haven't started the below ground work that they said they were going to do in June. You didn't question that either. What exactly what has changed? You deserve a bigger answer, the fuller answer on that, or the fuller explanation. We want you to ask those questions. We're the residents. We really want a better answer. Okay, and that's really all I have to say today.
Okay. Thank you, Phyllis. And we will address the weed issue when they talk. And I do think we did say we didn't allow them just to say if we can. They've been here every month, except with the exception of the June timeframe, I think. So thanks, Phyllis. And I think, is Gretchen on, or she did not come? Okay, then we'll take her off. Okay, that ends our public comment. And so we'll move on to elected officials' comments and announcements. We could take the recognition of the One Earth Film Festival now, or we can take your comments now. What would you like to do? Okay, very good. I always like to build consensus here. All right, so we'll go ahead and recognize the we've got some young filmmakers that we'd love to talk about and celebrate, and especially one of the contest winners, Maren Chalmers, and we have our very own Sue Crothers here to help us introduce the film and the filmmaker and all about the great stuff that these young filmmakers are doing. So welcome, Sue.
Thank you
Phil,
very
good to
much.
See you.
Thanks, President Ducey. It is really fabulous to be back. It's my pleasure to be back here in River Forest and present another winning film from another one of its amazing students. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Sue Crothers, and I'm the founding director of the One Earth Young Filmmakers Contest and a past long-term River Forest resident. Despite the challenges of the pandemic, and the contest received 149 submissions this year from across the country. And the films continue to amaze us with their quality, and they are certainly made for a very fierce competition this year. And of those 149 winners, 35 of them were animations, 22 of them were middle school student film entries. And the middle school entries came from California, Maryland, Texas, New York, Georgia, Washington, D.C., and, of course, Illinois. So we had 22 judges, professional film and environmental judges. And I mention this because it shows that since we began 9 years ago, we have not only expanded exponentially, but it shows that the River Forest students continue to rise to the top of talented submissions from across the country. And Maren Chalmers is a prime example. And so we're very excited to share her honorable mention winning film here tonight. And I don't know if, she'll get seen later on. I was trying to see if she would be seen up on the screen with her. But perhaps later on. Okay, so Maren just graduated from eighth grade at Roosevelt. And she has an amazing talent for animation. She is passionate about using film as a tool for environmental action. And she's bringing awareness to the negative impacts of our actions. And this is her second award-winning film with us. And this year, Maren won an honorable mention for her film, Sondacia, where she uses stop motion with delicate cutouts and drawings to tell the story of the endangered Sumatran tigers. There are only 400 of them left in the wild. So I invite us all and you all to enjoy this wonderful animation short film by Maren Chalmers. So what's really special about that film is her use of animation to provoke emotion. And the other interesting thing is, in a world where you see a lot of fast animation, her choice is slow cadence to place an importance on the situation. And for somebody of her age to have that kind of creativity was extremely, you know, thoughtful and was impressive. And so congratulations, Maren. But before I ask President Aduzzi to honor Maren with her award, I'd like to take a moment to recognize a very special leader in this community. The One Earth Young Filmmakers contest began in 2012. And at the time we had 18 submissions from across the Chicagoland area. And since then, as I mentioned before, we have grown to become a nationally recognized contest, garnering on average 200 submissions annually from across the country. We offer over $7,000 in scholarships and prizes and matching grants. And since 2014, so 2 years after we started, River Forest students have continually participated and consistently risen to the top level of winners every year. And given the expansion of the contest, that's an extremely impressive achievement. And it's in no small part due to a very passionate and dedicated science teacher, Mr. Cadlick. So, in fact, all but two of those years, we have honored one of Mr. Cadlick's students. Wow. So Corey is an amazing advocate for his students. He offers his students opportunity and he encourages them to conduct research and create films that address the challenges, find the solutions and bring awareness to create activism for the climate crisis. He is lifting voices of the youth who inspire us to consider our choices and our impact and our future, to challenge our beliefs, to appreciate our world, and to be the solution and plant the seed for tomorrow. Corey Cadlett's an incredible leader, and I want to thank you, Corey, for all that you do.
Yeah.
And with that, I hand it over to President Aduzzi.
Well, Corey, I have the
great honor to present to you an award that we're giving you tonight in recognition of all your work with the film festival and all the kids that have been through your class. So if you can come up here and take the award. It says, presented to Corey Cadillac, in recognition of your dedication to increased awareness of environmental issues and leadership in guiding River Forest students to win acclaim for their original film in the One Earth Young Filmmakers Contest since 2014. Thank you for encouraging your students to address challenges and find solutions to the climate crisis.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
In recognition of your dedication to increased awareness of environmental issues and leadership in guiding River Forest students to win acclaim for their original.
Sorry. The main event to Marin for your distinguished achievement in recognition of receiving this honorable mention in the middle school category of the 2021 One Earth Film Festival Young Filmmakers Contest. Thank you so much. What a wonderful film. I much enjoyed it, and I really appreciate all your efforts, and we're very proud of you here in the village. So thank you so much. Here's the, you want to take a, well, I don't know if it's appropriate now with COVID. Yeah, so we'll leave that alone. Great film. Thank you. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Corey. Thank you, Marin. What a wonderful, this is why we all get elected to do these wonderful things. It makes us happy. A lot of other things we have to deal with, but this one makes us happy. So thank you. So we'll move on to elected official comments and announcements. And maybe if you don't mind, I'll start with Trustee Bachner.
Sure. So I'd like to begin with a land acknowledgement. So as we begin, we are mindful that we hold these meetings on land that was once and still inhabited by Indigenous people, including the Ojibwa, the Chippewa, Menominee, Potawatomi nations, and more. We will remember our nation's history and honor the Native people as stewards of this land that was colonized, and that River Forest continues to be a place many people from diverse backgrounds live and gather. Hope everyone is having a good summer. I did want to talk about a wonderful conversation that I had this weekend with our Cook County Assessor, Fritz Kagi. He wanted to let the Village of River Forest residents know that we do now have a tool on his website, on the Cook County Assessor's website, that will show you the assessed value for your properties now in comparison to last year, what the Cook County Assessor's Office listed the valuation as, and also then what the Board of Reviews did. And if you're interested in finding information generally about our township, you can get that information as well. It breaks down from non-residential and residential. So you can see the difference of how from year to year our property is being evaluated. I did want to also mention that Trustee Brennan had brought up to me a while back that there is an opportunity called ABLE, which works with police training in bystander training. And I wanted to learn more about that. And so, sorry, not sure what's going on with my voice today. So Wednesday and Thursday, they're having training for people who are interested in that. And I don't think I'll be able to catch all the sessions from 11 to 5, but it is a free workshop. It is critically acclaimed. And I'm so excited to get some information about this. Good. That's all I have.
Thank you. Lisa, can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you very much. I have been focusing, I guess, for the most part in working with Eric Simon, who is the new chair for the River Far Sustainability Commission. With he, you know, new to his role and having a lot of new members, he and I have been just working to ensure that there is a smooth transition, that he feels that he's supported during that transition, and that we figure out a way to have many hands make light work, including assigning or asking, I should say, the new commissioners, you know, kind of where their interests lie as we try to cover kind of all the programming that we have in place. So I am going to continue to attend those meetings, be support to Eric and take his lead in terms of, you know, that the amount of support he feels, which, you know, he feels he needs on a month by month basis. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Trustee Gillis. Trustee Vasquez.
Yes. Good evening, everyone. I just have one item to report. Our age-friendly committee met on July the 14th. I'm happy to say that we completed a first draft of the survey. And this, the last couple of weeks, what we've been doing is testing it with a small sample for our pilot to see if people, what they thought about the questions, if there's any tweaking or modification. So our hope is that at this week's meeting on Wednesday, we'll be able to discuss any recommendations from people who were part of that pilot sample survey so that we can finally complete a rough draft. I'm not sorry, a complete final draft that we will be able to work with. So more to come on that. So that's it, unless anybody has questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Clerk, anything? Okay, Trustee Brennan.
Thanks. I have two things. I just wanted to follow up on our discussion from last month and the month before about asking the EDC to review the priority parcel sale for its highest and best use.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have, and I know that we're voting on an EDC chair tonight and another EDC member, and I don't think that they have a meeting scheduled for August, but I'm fearful that if we don't act quickly to review it, then it's going to be too late. Because, you know, we've been seeing in the, because we've been, just let me finish for a second. Because we've been seeing in the press that, of course, there's a letter of intent or interest from OPRF, and now there's one from Fenwick as well. So I just think that the village needs to look at this for its own purposes as well.
So Katie, let me just address it, and then again, because we're in comment, but I'll let everybody else speak. Again, yes, you're right. There's no EDC meetings, and we didn't have a chair, and so therefore there's no place to bring it to the EDC. But saying all that, I mean, I still stand by what I said. And again, if the majority of the board wants to continue to look at bringing it to the EDC, we can, but I don't think that's the appropriate place for it. The Plan Commission makes the determination on whether we rezone anything, not the EDC. The EDC will take on, once we decide, hey, we want to make it a commercial property, residential property, then they will look at the possibilities of what could get developed on that piece of property. You know, they'll look at marketing, you know, businesses and things of that nature. You know, the Plan Commission is responsible for our land use or any changes to our land use. So, again, I'm just going to, you know, I don't think we're going to lose out or anybody's going to lose out. This is the beginning of a, you know, long conversation between Dominican and everybody else. But my comment stands. I don't think we rush to change our comprehensive plan that we spent years talking about with multitude of public meetings. Immediately, I think we let our land use zoning stand for a bit, and then and make a determination if we have to later on. But that's my, I'm only one person. Again, if the majority of the board wants us to send this to the EDC, which I don't know what they'll talk about other than, you know, what opportunities, what they might see, but that's, they do that for all of our land. I mean, we've got Lake and Park here that's open for development. And they've been working on trying to find developers right there. We've got Madison Street. We bought that property years ago. We're trying to get that developed. I mean, it's not like we don't have property that's underdeveloped or doesn't, you know, isn't need to, in development. So EDC is working on a lot of things for us, and those are a few things that they're working on. So, but, you know, right now they don't have a chair, so.
So, two things. We go back to, and we talk a lot about transparency and things, and so I go back to the comprehensive plan. So as you recall, when we were running and everything, we spent a lot of time interviewing residents, businesses, lots of stakeholders in that, during that whole process that Housiel went through, came back to us several times with several revisions on it. And, you know, the comprehensive plan is kind of like our guiding light, if you will, at this point in time. So with that being said, the second part of my comment is, I think for us to get in the middle of letters of intent between a buyer and a seller is a bad place for us to be. We're going to have the ultimate say at the end of the day as to what goes on with that property. And for the EDC to speculate or, you know, we're bringing another great member onto the board that has a lot of development experience, so I think it'll help. I don't know that that's their place. And I agree with Kathy is, you know, their goal is to grow economic development. Theirs is not to do land planning. I think you have a buyer and you definitely have a seller, but you have potentially one or two buyers that have an idea. And for us to somewhat kind of set the table, I think it does an injustice to, you know, the process of them buying and selling property. So that's my two cents.
So I'm concerned about the setting the table bit because, yes, it's zoned a certain way right now. And yes, the comp plan does inform our decisions, right. But the comp plan also says that we should be making, you know, creative decisions, mm-hmm. and the facts have changed here. Mm-hmm. That was zoned for, you know, educational, and that was a school, and now there's an opportunity to look at it in other ways. And I the reason why I've been saying why isn't the EDC looking at this is that I pulled up the job of the EDC. You know better than I do because you were the chair of the
right.
EDC.
Right.
But humor me here by, you know,
sure.
saying that
mm-hmm.
the EDC commission will advise the village board on the economic and community impact on potential development.
Mm.
I think this falls squarely within that responsibility. It will identify and assess the underutilized properties to develop strategies for their highest and best use and investigate and recommend incentives to facilitate economic growth. I think rather than simply saying that parcel is, and to clarify, that parcel that's for sale is the building and the small amount of land
right.
around it. It's not the fields around it. So when we say that we want to keep our green space, sure, we want to keep the green space. But let's be clear about what parcel we're
Absolutely.
Talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's a ton of green space
right.
in that parcel.
So may I borrow that so I can address correctly? Okay, so advise the village board on community and the economic community impact of potential developments. We don't have a development in front of us. Okay,
yeah.
We have a sale of property between
right.
between two people, so they don't have anything to.
But
review.
We're limiting
but,
the developers.
We're not limiting anybody because what happened was they went. What Dominican did was they put out. I don't know if they did a request for proposal or request for letter of intent, but they had a deadline of when they wanted letters of intent. Nobody impacted anybody's ability to go in there.
Let me acknowledge the speaker. Go ahead and finish.
We have a piece of property that has zoning on it right now. Nobody has come to us and said, I want to change this zoning. If somebody did that, I'm totally on board with you guys to say, we got something to talk about here, but nobody has done that. So I think we're putting the cart before the horse by giving it to somebody, having someone put out there what we will or we won't do before we know what it is we're being asked of.
I think just looking at the opportunity and offering that up as potentially a commercial property, saying that we are not interested in potentially changing that parcel and the zoning there. It's an opportunity for us to create some economic development in River Forest where it's landlocked.
I take you to the corner, Erica. I take you to the corner and where we have an opportunity for economic development.
For the taxpayers to be able to bring in something else, we have some places, but definitely not as rich or diverse as other towns. If it's an opportunity for us to create retail, commercial, we should be identifying
that. This is the platform that I ran on, as you'll recall. And you can, and I cannot tell you up until early this evening that I was spending time on economic development stuff for this, for the village. Okay. So I'm all on board on driving this. I just don't think us getting in the middle of this and before somebody brings something to us is anybody's responsibility until we actually have an application.
I think if we say that we are open to that opportunity, then that
nobody has said we're not.
Yeah. What I said is our comprehensive plan is and it's correctly zoned right now at this point in time.
Okay.
And I stand by it. It's correctly zoned at this point in time.
And then the other point on here is investigate and recommend incentives to facilitate economic growth. I am all on board with trying to provide incentives to do this. Again, I don't know what people are asking me. So when somebody asks me the question, I'm happy to address it. I don't want to be the one who pushes the answer on someone. I think right now we have a blank piece of paper. We have two parties that we know have interest in it, and I'd like to see what they would bring forward, okay?
Both those parties, though, would not provide taxes to our community.
We don't know that for a fact.
Well, here, first of all, I think you have to have a bigger conversation. I mean, you're providing taxes. Well, yeah, count me in for that. But you have to decide. We have to decide. Again, there's a beautiful historic, building there, significant building. And there's a lot of green space and open land. And to put a residential and commercial development on there, it's going to create density. And it's going to create a lot of traffic and a lot of other things right there. We want to create taxes for sure, but as Bob said, we've got a lot of land is underdeveloped right now. Lake and Park been underdeveloped for years. Madison Street bought those three properties. It's not been developed yet. We can't find developers. So I just don't want to create all this, you hear we got all these developers willing to come in and we're preventing them. That is absolutely not true.
Because that is an area that could sustain more density than some of the areas that you're talking about. There would be less people upset about it in that area. So to not even consider the option.
Well,
take Bonnie Bray.
First of all, I'm not sure if we're ever going to find any piece of property that people aren't going to be. We'll be totally happy with.
Right, exactly.
And we have North Avenue. We have Madison. We already have those areas designated for our development. If a developer would say, hey, I'll come to the board meeting. I really want that piece of property, but you got to zone it. That'd be something I may consider at that time. I'm not even saying that I will even rezone it. But look at the problems. You already know the problems we're having with Lake and Lathrop. So imagine if we converted that property and we end up with some other issues like that. And I'm not saying we will. But we have plenty of other property that's already designated for commercial purposes. I'm not sure if we want to take away from the recreational property that we do have.
Residential property. It is, we don't have enough affordable housing in our area, and we know that. So having something like apartments there could be a really viable option for rural forests.
Why not have apartments along North Avenue or Madison?
Wasn't there a proposal for an apartment that the residents came out resoundingly against?
And it went down
right
Lake
across the street at Lake
and
Park.
I
don't disagree with you, I think it's, and like I said, it's not about that piece of property. The only thing about that piece of property that interests me right now is to understand what the people who have the letter of intent in and what Dominican, what they want to talk about. I would like to have a serious conversation about economic development in Lake and Park and what we're all doing to help spur economic development there. We keep talking to the leasing people at Mid-America at Harlem and Lake to find out who they're going to fill back spaces with. We're losing tax revenue because those spaces are closed. We have a sign on Madison Street that nobody's commented on, that they saw the sign, they didn't see the sign, they liked the sign, they didn't see. I mean, we've got lots of opportunities. And so, the Economic Development Commission, when I was on it, we did an RFP for this. we did or an RFQ. You know, we need to get some of that stuff going, and that's where I think the best efforts of the Economic Development Commission are best spent on stuff that we either control or people are bringing to us for asking for some feedback.
I think we're potentially losing an opportunity. That's all
we're sure. We have the ultimate control at the end of the day. Yeah.
And I'm not done yet.
Ken raised it.
Oh, sorry. I thought we were moving on to your comment. Yeah. My apologies.
No problem. I just wanted to say that as long as we have the opportunity in the future, that's one thing. Looking at old properties or what we have existing right now, I don't think that's relevant right now, but because we're talking about this property. And additionally, I think that we need to make sure that one of the real issues is the transparency. We have residents seeing these things in the paper. They don't know what's going on, but are we addressing it? Are we able to just say, okay, here's the procedure. Mm-hmm. Here's what's going on. And I'm not sure that we're being taken over by all the news and the papers and everything, and we don't have the ability to respond, or do we? If we do, I think we should just be clear about it. Here's the procedure, and here's what we can do.
Okay, good question. Let me answer that because I know you're new. I think we've been very clear. It is a private property owned by Dominicans, so they have the right to sell it to whom they want under the zoning requirement. The zoning requirements go through a process. It's called our plan commission, who looks at our land use, and they do that in a very comprehensive way. I mean, it's a long process over 2 years, multiple public meetings, couldn't have been more transparent. So, but it's not to say that things don't change and things can change, but that is the process, and it's very transparent. It's very open. So right now, that is what that land is zoned for. If, however, if the majority of the board says, well, we want to, because it's now being looked at as a private sale, perhaps we should change the zoning to commercial and residential to allow for private development, residential commercial development, mixed-use development, we as a board can allow that and ask the Plan Commission to look at it and come back with recommendations to rezone it. So there's a process in place.
I wouldn't say that. Yeah.
So we started this process through our comprehensive plan. We follow it. That's what we follow. Otherwise, it would be mayhem if we didn't follow some land use plan. And there is a process by which we could also change it if we choose. I stand by the fact that we have the plan. We worked hard at the plan. And I think we let the private entity, in this case, Dominican University, seek what possibilities are out there for PRI. Like Rez said, we have limited recreational and open space and green space. Do we really just want to turn that into cement and high rises? I don't know. The board will have to determine that. I mean, but we can make that change if the majority of the board wants to do that.
Right. And I wasn't saying that the procedure doesn't exist. I was saying that I don't believe residents know the procedure, and therefore I don't think it's a negative to educate them on the process.
Yeah, and we'll be happy to. We can do something in the newsletter to give an indication of what a comprehensive plan looks like, what we go through. I'm not getting that many calls. If I'm getting any calls, they want to keep it green and open and recreational. So, sure, some people say go buy it, and that's the last thing we want to do is spend $8 million. We couldn't raise that kind of money, and two, we would have to sell it to a developer. And we'd be right in the spot that we don't want to be. We really don't want to buy land. You know, we buy land only for the sake of developing it for tax purposes. Park District buys land for recreational, and institutions buy land to do education, so D9200. So if we buy land, it would be develop it. There is a process, and I'll be happy to explain that if you think, Ken, it sounds like we should, and I will.
So a couple of points or follow-ups on that. I think Bob and Kathy, you've said, we would entertain any offers that come in. If some developer comes to this village board meeting and says, we're interested in that property, we'd ask you to rezone it. The fact is no one's going to do that because we've made it crystal clear to both the seller and any potential developer that we won't entertain zoning. It's come out in public meetings. And it's come out in the press. And we've also told the seller that not to entertain other purchasers than someone who's in the educational sector, so that, you know, so that the zoning doesn't change. So no one's going to come unless we make it apparent that they can. And we've made it crystal clear that they cannot.
No,
that's my first concern.
Well, let me address that because it sounds like this is something what I said and I stand by it. The comprehensive plan is zoned PR, that area is zoned PRI, and that's what it's zoned, and it's zoned appropriately when we went through it. I also said what I think the village, and I hope the board is interested in, is green space and saving that significant building. That's what I said.
And that's another concern I have, again, on the transparency issue. In the press and here at our meetings, you know, you're talking about we want to preserve green space. Let's be clear what this parcel is. It's the building and a small amount of land around it. The green space that most people think about when they think of the Priory are all those, you know, the soccer, the baseball, the football fields, the playground, et cetera. And when it comes out in the press that, you know, the village isn't interested in changing zoning because we want to maintain the green space, who doesn't want to maintain our green space? You know, but I think we haven't discussed it at this board or at any of the commissions what this parcel is. You know, it's not the lands around it. It's the building.
I think the paper did a very nice job of describing it. You know, we can bring it up if you like. They showed exactly the parcels that is available, and there's significant amount of green space in that parcel. You might want to take a look at it again. So I think the papers did a very nice job of making sure that this is what they're talking about. I haven't fielded any calls that said, oh, they can take the soccer field or the Priory Park or any of those. So, I mean, again, if the majority of the board wants to take a look at the rezoning of it, it would go to the EDC, it would go to the Plan Commission.
Okay, and then the other point I just wanted to make in talking about the other pieces of land in the village, the few of them that are under development right now, I think we all know that every piece of real estate is a unique piece, unique based on its location and other factors. So I don't think it's fair to compare what's going on at Lake and Lathrop, where we've had difficulties on many different levels, including trying to purchase the whole parcel, to compare that to this gem of a location in the middle of all these wonderful fields that are going to stay fields. So that was a point I wanted to make. Okay. The second thing that I wanted to say was just to follow up on what Erica mentioned about ABLE. I wanted to just give just a little bit more information. I've been speaking with Chief O'Shea about this program called Active Bystander Training for Law Enforcement for a few months. And I'm very excited about the opportunity. He's interested in it for the village. It's a train the trainer model where this entity trains some law enforcement officials who then train the others. And it is housed at Georgetown Law Center and is privately funded by several large corporations, including Verizon, MasterCard, JP Morgan. And it has shown to be successful in training officers to be comfortable intervening, preventing misconduct, avoiding police mistakes, and promoting officer health and wellness. So sounds like I didn't know about this training that's coming up on it, but Chief O'Shea and I have been talking, and it's a wonderful opportunity for the village as we, you know, go about our law enforcement.
Good. Okay, very good. Trustee Johnson.
Okay, just wanted to say I hope everyone's having a great summer. The residents specifically, and I, two things. One, as one of the chairs, myself, Erica, and Lisa of the DEI committee, just wanted to let everyone know we are moving forward, coming up with the definitions that we are going to work under, as well as will be clarified how we can move forward in a good way. So that group is strong, it's large, but we are moving forward. As questions come, we're trying to answer them as soon as possible, and you know, it's never too easy, or never easy at all, but we do find that we are moving forward in a great direction. Secondly, I do want to say that I had the opportunity to tour the Sheraton, Kathy's recommendation, tour the Sheraton, because of questions that I've received, just what is this beautiful giant structure and what is it all about? And I did tour it, and I found it to be a fantastic facility, and I would encourage residents to do take a look at it. They are ready with all questions. They're willing to, you know, and I did try to answer some or ask some really relevant questions about residents and the ability to afford and things like that. And so I would just encourage the residents to take the time to take a look at the property and take a tour. They're very willing to do it because they're very excited about it. And if you have the opportunity, please do so. And that is all.
So I had a couple of just things around economic development. Very excited that we're going to be talking about and hopefully approving the appointment of Kyler Brown as Lee Neubecker's replacement. I worked with Kyler on the Economic Development Commission, and I find him to be a very engaging guy and really interested in the community. I'm also happy to see that Walter Wahlfeldt is on the list. I know Wally professionally, and I think his experiences will add a lot. We'll also be able to help guide and assist Kyler as they move down the road. So I'm pretty excited about both of those appointments this evening. And then I just had a quick question for Erica. At some point in time, do we have scheduled updates on your committee, on the DEI committee?
I'm going to adjust.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
No worries.
So that was the only question I had. So I know you guys have been going at it for a couple of months now,
and
just curious as to what was going on. Right. So.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks.
That was all I had.
Okay, thanks, Bob. Yeah, so that my only, I got two things. And one, I was going to ask the village administrator to probably on all of our next board meetings is to make sure that all of the committee members give a update on their committee, chair members give an update on their committees. And I know all of you do by this comment, but I think we should make it as part of our board agenda. So I know each and every one of you have a assignment. So, and you normally give up us updates. So let's make this formal so that we can, you know, make sure it's on record and we have real clear updates, because a lot of things are exciting. I mean, between DEI, Dominican, age-friendly, economic development, Lisa working with sustainability, just a lot of things are going very well. And I'd like to make sure that all the chairs are able to tell all of our residents what's going on. And we'll also kind of ensure that they also get into the monthly newsletter as well, you know, some snippet of it, maybe even a, you know, so that, you know, again, transparency is everything. So we'll make sure we get everything out in the open on all these topics. And then last but not least, I was unable to go to the Trinity groundbreaking. I know some of you did. I was unable to go. I feel really terrible, but I understand it was great. And I am just so pleased that Trinity is growing and building. And so congratulations to our friends at Trinity. That's all I have. So we'll move on to the consent agenda. And oh, by the way, congratulations to those winners of the One Earth Film Festival. All of them. Okay, so the consent agenda, if I can get a motion and a second on the consent agenda A through K.
I move we approve the consent agenda items A through K.
Okay, any comments or questions regarding any of these items?
Yeah, I'd like to pull one of the items just to talk through it, because I guess I can pull the newbie card.
Okay, which one?
C.
Okay. All right. So now we have to amend our motion. If I can get Katie and Ken, do you amend your motion to approve the consent agenda A, B, D through K?
I do.
Okay. Ken?
I do as well.
All righty. I do. All right. So with that, I'd ask the clerk to read the consent items and then take the vote.
A, Village Board of Trustee meeting minutes, July 12, 2021. B, Executive Session meeting minutes, July 12, 2021. D, Amendment to the Fiscal Year 22 Compensation Plan Ordinance. E, Ratification of the submission of the grant agreements for the Coronavirus Local Fiscal Recovery Fund under the American Rescue Plan Act of 2021 Ordinance. F, Waiver of formal bid due to sole source provider and award of contract Municipal Services Associates, Inc. for telecommunication-related consulting services, resolution. G, monthly department reports. H, monthly financial report for July. I, performance measurement report. J, accounts payable for July 2021. $1,653,346.56. And K, Village Administrator Report. Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bachner?
Yes. Okay, if I can get a trustee to move consent item number C, letter C.
Make a motion to approve the ratification of expenditures for sewer line lateral repair work on the 1400 block of Monroe.
Second.
So what's your question, Lisa?
I guess my question is, and Lisa and I've been Lisa and I talked about this before this meeting, is that my understanding of our conversation last time was we were going to focus first and foremost on fixing the problem, and then in parallel, try to understand really what was going on, looking toward how we've handled such things in the past, and then basically potentially coming back with some sort of equitable payment. My understanding is now we're just paying for it in full, and there is no expectation that the residents pay anything. And that, I guess that's not what, I guess my understanding was, is that we would gather all the, information knowing that it was, the 72 hours, the extreme cost was certainly something to relook at, but then, you know, potentially there might be some sort of way forward where there would be some sort of cost. I think on the table last time, $5,000 was put on the table because that was the amount that folks who had been able to update their sewer line as part of phase one of the flood
sewer project.
Thank you. So I don't know if others had that same understanding or.
I'll let the trustees, I got the we walked away directing the administration to, you know, fix the problem. And I think, and Erica said it, which was right, you know, then we have to think about, you know, going forward. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were going to look at in terms of the policy going forward, is how I understood it.
And we're going to do that in September, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we can revisit this. Or are we closing the door on this? Both. No, I mean the payment. Obviously, we're going to make the payment. But
right.
I mean, if we have in the past charged residents for a portion of this work, are we going to go back and talk about this? That's my only question.
So we have not charged residents any portion of this work. Residents have been responsible for completing all of the work, and so the direction from the board at the last meeting was to make the repair. I don't believe that we got the direction to charge the residents anything for it.
We did not. Right.
Correct.
The question is, we need the historical piece of this, and then we need the policy going forward.
Right.
So we'll return to the board in September with what the policy would be for any future repairs. And if there is anyone else who needs suspension of the policy or relief from the requirements, we would, at this point, still have to bring it back to the board for direction to suspend it and not enforce it. And so the purpose of the action tonight is to ratify the direction that the board gave at the last meeting.
Correct.
Right.
Right. What I understood is we were going to go ahead and take care of it and pay it so we were going to mitigate damages so it doesn't get any worse. And then we would deal with whatever we have to deal with in the future. And because there was different amounts. I think the residents offered $5,000, but there were other residents, I think, with other projects. They were paying up to $2,500 or something.
So that's
what we were going to try to find out.
Right. Yeah, there's a fair amount of research that we want to do, not just in terms of what other communities are doing, but the homeowners insurance policies that are applicable to this type of infrastructure, historically what we've been looking at and what the impact would be, depending upon what type of policy decision you all make going forward, whether it's replacement in full or replacement in part. And so that's a good amount of research at a time that we're just trying to get a couple of other things done, and we have some changes in our staff that we're making, and so I would just simply ask that we be given a little bit more time to come back in early September with the policy recommendations.
I think it's a fair question, but I think you guys are going to be taking care of that.
I still, I guess, want to understand, we have people in the past, after this was passed in 2011 or thereabouts, that have paid in full for their fair share. And there's people in the future that will pay something different. And in the middle, we have residents that have that are basically not paying anything. And I am concerned regarding that, like that, like the equity of that on a, you know, in terms of on a, like on a going forward basis. And I think Bob had brought up, what is our liability? Should folks come back and say, hey, heads up, I followed the municipal code and I paid $15,000 and, you know, and I would like to have that reimbursed. I just want to, I guess, understand kind of, and maybe that's kind of what we'll cover in September.
I'll let the village attorney address that. I mean, we just talked about things that change. You know, the board can change things. So I'll let you.
Right. The board controls its own policies. You have little to no exposure for someone who previously paid for their own sewer lateral line repair to come back and say, because you waived it for these two residences on Monroe, you now must pay mine back. The chances that a court would find that to be a valid legal claim are next to zero.
Right.
You control this policy. You've waived it in this instance. You're studying it in preparation for likely amendments. This is just part of the flexibility of governing where you change things over time. So
okay.
I don't see any risk.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, we're talking about zoning changes. We do it all the time. All right. Okay. So I'll ask the clerk to read it and.
Consent agenda C, ratification of expenditures for sewer lateral line repair work on 1400 block of Monroe in the amount of $17,035. Ordinance. Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Okay, thank you, John. Okay, moving on to recommendations of boards, commissions, and committees. I'm very pleased to announce the hopefully the appointment of Kyler Brown and the appointment of Walter Wahlfeld, if I say that right. Wahlfeld, okay. If I can get a trustee, well, let's put them together. Is that okay? Can I put them together? Okay. Yep. Both of these, one and two. So if I can
make a motion to approve the appointment of Kyler Brown to fill the vacancy of Newbecker for a four-year term expiring on 4/30/25, and the Economic Development Commission appoint Walter Wahlfeld, member, for the Newbecker vacancy remaining term expiring 4/30/24.
Second.
Okay. Any questions? I think Bob already talked about Kyler and Walter and their, you know, Wally. They're both really, well, first of all, Kyler is the current commissioner and just a good guy. And Wally comes with significant experience in the real estate and the commercial real estate area. So it's really nice to have them. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them. Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to take the vote, please.
Trustee Vasquez.
Yes.
Trustee Brennan.
Yes.
Trustee Johnson.
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell.
Yes.
Trustee Bachner.
Yes.
Trustee Gillis.
Yes.
Okay. Then moving on to unfinished business, we do have representatives here from Lake and Lathrop. If you could step up to the podium and give us your update. And could you address the growing weed question as well, please?
Yes.
Not the weed, but the weeds. If you have weed
just
out there,
clear.
Could you make sure you put sales tax on it?
I can't speak to the other version. Good evening, everybody. Yes, we were going to cover that this evening. I think last time we were here, more of the question, the weeds had gotten a little bit up there on the Lathrop side. Those have been taken care of. And then recently, it was indicated that on the site, the weeds had started to get a little high. And so we were trying end of last week to get somebody out here this weekend. Anyway, we got out here tonight to do it ourselves, and the person was there taking care of it. So they were here, there this evening, knocking some things out. It may take a couple days to do it, but we asked them at least to address the highest stuff. Particularly, which I imagine is Ms. Rubin's biggest concern, is the stuff that's visible from Ashland. So that was his focus this evening, and there'll probably have to be a second round of work, because he had just gotten out there today about, I would say, probably 5:30, something like that.
And could you address the
mesh, the covering?
Mesh, yeah, the mesh.
You know, we walked at least two sides of Lake. In lake side and the Lathrop side, and didn't see anything. Maybe it was back on the south side. So yes, we'll do that. But we didn't see anything on the primary streets. But our focus was the weeds. So yes, we have a company. They've been the ones doing the snow and now the weeds, and we'll be more diligent on that, more consistent on that.
Is that something that can be handled weekly or not?
Well, the weeds. Hopefully you should not need that much. We just got to get it down to a height where it doesn't need as frequent, but then we just got to watch it. You know, I think we're getting to the high season now, and I think as the weather cools down, they'll stop growing so much, and it'll somewhat manage itself, and we'll get into the other forms of things that need to be overseen. So, but as a general project update, we have, since the last meeting, gotten another residential sale, which is very positive. From a retail standpoint, which is related to the sales, if you will, side of things, that's continued to be positive. I think last time we reported we had one LOI in around 2,500-ish square feet. We are anticipating this week to have the second space of about that same square footage in LOI, a MedTail space, and we have two strong interests by a restaurant companies for the corner. But I think we talked last time about having 17,000 square foot of interested parties for the 14,000 square foot of space that we have, and all those parties are still at play. So they're still active. I don't believe anybody's walked away in the negotiations or discussions. So we've seen a little bit of progress on that, but still have the same level of interest in the retail. Permit-wise, we believe we've got everything good to go for that. As far as any open issues, if anyone remembers with the IEPA, we had sort of email approval and general engineer to governing body approval, but it took a while to get the formal letter. It's kind of similar to that with MWRD. We've gotten an indication that all of the boxes have been checked, all of the issues have been addressed, but it's got to go through its process and system with its team to ultimately issue the letter indicating approval. We've those boxes have been gradually getting checked for a couple of months, but we feel like we've kind of got over the hurdle of some of the last small ankle biting items on those fronts. So I think we're very much there on that front. Is there any other specific questions?
Can you just remind us for total sales? I know you said you have one additional sale.
Yeah, so I think we reported 10 last time, so we're at 11. So I think last time we had just put up the 40% sign as we were getting to a roughly 45-ish percent on specifically residential sales. And with this 11th, with 22 units, puts us just getting to 50%. Oh, I believe Ms. Rubin's other question was about the financing and what have those obstacles been. I'm not personally directly involved in that activity, but I think last time, I think it was probably a couple months ago, as we were getting into the 30-ish plus high 30% of sales, we were just it facilitated having more substantial dialogue with lenders. Prior to that, you can have discussions, but they're really not very substantive. So as we've continued that conversation, as we continue to report the 40, 45, and now 50% of sales, we're seeing the activities with the lender and the dialogue and the level of interest increasing. We have a handful of lenders that we're talking to, but we are learning that their expectation is a minimum of 50% sold. Just the nature of the market right now. Last time we said it was a changing landscape, which we were still trying to understand. I believe this time we're, I think we're more clearly understanding that that landscape is being defined a little more in that 50-ish percent. But it's going to be lender to lender as to what those requirements are. And, we're learning with this continued and increased dialogue, what those requirements will be. But that is our, biggest challenge now that we're able to have that more robust dialogue with the lenders.
Do you have a sense of timing on getting the lending?
Along with that landscape of understanding the requirements for the loan, there's just the time it takes to get through a traditional lending closing process. Even as we were discussing it today, even things that can be relatively straightforward, have known to be relatively straightforward in the past, like getting appraisals, banks are saying they're taking extra time just to even get the appraisal part of a process. So it's every layer of it is proving to take more time and being more onerous. But I know I don't have a hard timeline as to when we'll be through that.
Okay. I would just say, we heard from Phyllis tonight about the weeds issue, and we've heard about the weeds issue in the past.
Yes.
We've heard about ice and snow accumulating and not being taken care of in the past, and debris also that's been blocking the sidewalks and making it difficult for and dangerous for passersby. We've heard about AT&T workers on your site spilling over into neighboring sites, using that as their areas to sort of have lunch and deposit debris, which I guess they've removed now.
I did not hear about that, but I appreciate you letting us know. Fortunately, their work is done, but I have not heard about that.
The village received complaints.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't have a reliable timeline on financing. We're going to be going again, continuing into the season. And each of us, who live in the village have to take care of our properties, or otherwise we get fined.
Absolutely.
And so we would ask the same of any good neighbor, take care of it, take care of your neighbors as well.
We will be more, we've gotten more diligent. We'll continue to be diligent.
Thank you. And I do appreciate you being here tonight and hope that continue to come every month, because clearly it's important to the village board and the residents.
Appreciate that. No, our pleasure.
One last follow-up question. Oh, yeah. So you're now at 11 residential sales. The commercial last time letter of intent for 2,500 square feet, is it the same?
In place. But we're anticipating by the end of this week we'll have the second one in place for about the same square footage, so up to 5,000 of
right.
LOI.
But just at this snapshot in time,
yes.
11 residential sales, we're still at 2,500 commercial.
As of today.
Thank you.
But progressing toward that second one.
Okay, thank
you. You also said, I thought you said last month that you have 17,000 square feet of interest.
Of interest, right.
Okay, very good.
All right, very good. Thank you.
Everybody. Okay, okay, we'll move on to new business, and we've got item A, update. I don't think we, no action. So an update on the village code amendments regarding the sewer repair.
Yeah, so very briefly, this is related to item 5C. As I mentioned, staff anticipates that we will be returning to the village board at the first meeting in September with some policy recommendations regarding the village's current policy that requires residents to make all repairs within a certain period of time of lateral sewer lines, even if they are in the public right-of-way. So as I noted, we have research underway and just asking for a little bit more time to bring those changes to the village board.
Okay.
So no action is
required. So no action, so September.
Correct. Okay. Yep, that's the goal.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think we've talked about that.
Okay,
the next up is a discussion direction that Lisa and staff would like to get on a request for proposal for lobbying services. So we just have to build consensus here. So
yeah.
I'll let you talk through this, Lisa.
Sure.
Very quickly.
So what staff is seeking tonight is a discussion and direction regarding whether or not to solicit proposals from lobbyists for in consulting services. Specifically, we don't have a project in mind, but as we look at the changing landscape and some changes that we anticipate coming to the legislature, new relationships that are coming, and just the incredibly competitive landscape that exists for funding, grant funding, and other types of funding, particularly for infrastructure projects. We struggle at times, I think, to remain competitive, not because we don't have projects that are have a lot of merit. I think our projects have an excellent merit, but there is just the sheer number of grant opportunities that are announced, the short timelines at times that come our way, and just the incredibly challenging landscape of trying to understand where we could potentially qualify for funding at times is a bit daunting. And I think we would benefit, the residents would benefit from having a consultant who can help us kind of forge ahead in this area. In addition to that, although we're part of the WCMC and the Illinois Municipal League, or the IML, who do lobby on behalf of all municipalities, they lobby on behalf of all municipalities, and it's a very broad brush approach to advocacy efforts, particularly with the legislature. And issues that are specific to River Forest may not necessarily be at the front and center of that conversation. Yeah, particularly legislative, right? There are a number of pieces of legislation that get passed every year that directly impact the residents of River Forest, that impact our ability to raise revenue, make certain changes in our organization, and there are a number of unfunded mandates, as we all know, that the government produces at any given time. And I think there are times where, although I think IML and WCMC do a very fine job, having someone who can advocate specifically for River Forest's interests and forge ahead with these relationships could be of value to the community.
Yeah, IML, I think, and WCMC spend all their time advocating for legislative policy, big issues, which I think is important to bring back. But they don't look for funding opportunities.
Good, that's right.
Where this kind of struck a chord with me was at our last meeting when we were talking about 1400 Monroe, and one of the residents came up and said, well, do you know that these funds are available or those funds are available through whomever? I don't recall off the top of my head. FEMA. You know, the fact that, you know, there's somebody out there that knows this, and, you know, I would guess there's some economies of scale if you have the right person who's working for a lot of municipalities, you know, that you're going to get access to a lot of different information and things like that. And, you know, frankly, you know, where I think our village team does a great job, I don't know that anybody's really focused on this. So I think this is really, this is a wise thing, especially if we're going to do it on a consulting basis and it's going to be limited. So I think this is a great idea, and hopefully will pay dividends for us in getting some grant grants along the way.
I think it's a great idea, actually, because at least with all the other public bodies I've been involved with, they've always had someone to go out, because you need someone out there talking to the legislators who you can pitch and tell them what the needs are for the village. And that's a lot to do with how they listen and how they help their constituents. So, you know, without that, I'm not saying we wouldn't get anything, but it definitely helps to have somebody advocating out in the state capitol, and or in this case also, are we looking for both for state and federal legislative lobbying?
Yeah, I think that's something we can evaluate in terms of where we're going to get the best assistance, right? So the direction tonight is just to proceed with it. You're not awarding a contract to anyone.
Right.
You know, we can come back, and if we ultimately don't find someone that we like or someone who we think can provide great service to the village, we don't have to approve a contract. But I want to make sure that there is buy-in from the board before we start to spend our time going down this path and releasing this type of proposal and interviewing potential candidates. So, yeah, I think we would be looking at all the options.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah. I just want to say I also am very much in favor of moving on this simply because the possibility of receiving funding that we didn't even consider would pay for it itself. Itself. So I'd be definitely open to having that. So.
Is this another thing that you go through GovHR on, or is this a different path?
You know, it's not GovHR, but it's similar in terms of they're very, I would say there are certain firms that have more experience in doing it. So we would consider, I would think the RFP would consider history and their experience in these efforts. So,
yeah, Bob, I think your question was, would GovHR manage this process in terms of releasing proposals, evaluating submittals? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just asking, is this kind of, you know, is this one of their lanes? You know, do they look for these types of individuals?
No.
No.
I think this is a very good idea. It might be a different person who may handle federal versus dealing with mm-hmm. the General Assembly. Both require a lot of relationship building. Mm-hmm. You have to be in Springfield versus right. here in Chicago or in Washington. I do wonder how we will get reporting from that and how we will determine, because you are talking about grants and funding, and I think all of that is really important, but to the extent that there are issues that may help the residents, I am interested in, like, would they just go full charge if you tell them about that, or would we have an opinion on whether we are for or not that specific issue?
Yes, to both.
I mean, the board sets the policy.
Yeah.
And I think in direction.
Right.
You know.
Right.
Yeah. So some of the bigger issues, I'm going to think, bigger legislative issues, I mean, IML and WCMC will be on top of, but, you know, it's something very specific to River Forest. I mean, that would be a direction from mm-hmm. all above. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, so I just want to make sure that if something, if we're talking about legislature, you know, that we are having a chance to talk to you about it before you go and advocate for something that we're not necessarily for.
The board sets policy direction, and the staff executes the direction of the policy. Now, to the extent that staff identifies issues of concern and opportunities for advocacy, we would bring them to your attention because, again, we want to make sure that we as a staff are in alignment with you as a board.
Yep, that's exactly what I was asking. And I do want to commend our village staff for the work that they do on grant finding right now. Incredible work, but it gets to be, I'm sure, just overbearing after a while.
But in addition to not finding, also, if we do set the priority, this firm would or individual would be the one following up at State Capital to try to actually get the funding for us.
Absolutely. Yeah. You have a capital planning document that we prepare every year and the board reviews and approves as part of its annual budget.
Right.
We have our five-year spending plan. There are excellent opportunities there for a variety of infrastructure improvements. Those types of strategic guidance and strategic decisions that we all make are very, very helpful in identifying those priorities. But, I understand your point.
I think you have consensus. I'm a little bit more tepid than the rest of you on this one. I just think about, you know, we are such a small community. You know, we already are, you know, in general represented by a couple of the entities that you guys mentioned. I'm on the fence about the justifying the cost, and we don't know what the cost is, so I'm not sure how to weigh it. But I'm willing to go, you know, you got consensus ahead already without me. I'm willing to see what proposals look like.
Well, this is just to authorize them to prepare an RFP.
Exactly.
It's still going to come back to us.
Exactly.
Depending on the response, we could say, no, we're not going to enter into any conflict with anybody.
And I do think that we would want to look at whoever would come back to us with a proposal, what their success rate has been in the past. And maybe they could even offer up suggestions as to what in the future they might be helping us with so that we can see if it is of value, right?
Yeah.
A little cost benefit.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, again, I agree. I mean, this is just an RFP. I think it's almost, it's not an option anymore. I mean, the competitive nature of just the capital budget that comes out of the state and federal government is enormous. And so it is a full-time job. I mean, even between all of us, we're juggling things, and it's just, you know, we're missing opportunities. And I think this is an opportunity for River to get money into our community without having to tax the taxpayer, even though it might cost us a little bit of money. I think the cost benefit is huge. So, okay, we do have
I've got it. Yep.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. So moving on to then the building code update.
Yeah. So here is another item. There is no action required tonight. Mostly this is just to introduce this to the community, put it out in the public sphere, and let the board know that this will be coming back to you. So the village operates under a series of international building codes that ensure the integrity of the built environment here in River Forest. There are electrical codes, plumbing codes, down to Howie of Frame a Building. And these are the codes that we use when plans are in for consideration and plan review for building permits. Currently, we operate under the 2003 code. We are proposing that we upgrade to the 2018 edition of these codes. So the village has already undergone a substantial process utilizing the services of BNF Technical Code Service. That's our third-party plan review and inspection firm. And we also used Mike D'Onofrio through GovHR. Mike has been a community development director and building director for years and helped spearhead this process so that we could get it done during this interim period and certainly before the fire chief leaves. I know this is an item that he and I have been trying to move the ball forward on for some time. So what we are proposing to do is let the community know, certainly let our building community know, that this is what we would be doing. Any changes to the building code that we would be making would not be effective until the beginning of the next calendar year. So it's not as if the board would take action on this and boom, overnight, everything changes. There will come a point where any permits that are submitted before a date certain, right, so by December 31st, 2021, would be reviewed under the 2003 code. Anything after that date would be reviewed under 2018, which is a little bit of a self-inflicted wound, which is why we do it in the middle of the winter, hopefully when projects have slowed down a little bit and it's more manageable. In terms of editions of the code, they're updated every 3 years. So the most current version is 2021. It's typical, and it's not uncommon at all, to see communities adopt one version previous, simply because, for lack of a better term, sometimes you have to work out the kinks in the new code, and sometimes you have to evaluate what the impact of those changes are. And so the 2018 code, I would say, has been fully vetted. Everyone who's on it is fairly used to using it. And so for the building community, this will not present any sort of abrupt change that they wouldn't have otherwise anticipated, right? We're not going to something that's so fresh and new that no one's had a chance to really test it out and use it. At the local level, when you adopt building codes, you will adopt certain local amendments to those codes. Those are just to make the code applicable to our specific set of circumstances in terms of which departments and which staff members oversee what, where certain things go within our process. The intent of those local amendments is not to make anything more regulatory, particularly if it doesn't make any sense to do that, right? The codes are already pretty robust. They do take into account what we are proposing, the sign ordinance amendments that were made November of last year. So it will take that into account. And it will also take into account the changes that the board made to the sprinklering policy with regard to new construction versus modifications to buildings. So we are not undoing anything that the board has already done with those local requirements.
Okay, so the question I have, though, and Lisa and I've chatted about it, is this, and that's good. We have to memorialize all those changes and incorporate them. I just want to make sure that we're careful that we don't add things that will add to cost of a homeowner or, you know, obviously if it's, you know, mandated in some, you know, fire manual or whatever, I understand you have to think that through. But I think we just have to be very careful that we're not putting undue codes on our residents that, you know, will cost them money.
Sure. So the 2018 code is the code.
Right.
And what that changes, it changes. But I think what you're saying is in terms of local amendments,
right,
we're not introducing a more robust regulatory environment than is necessary, and
right,
we are not.
That's what I said, right, because I said, I know there's mandates that we have to catch up on.
And I personally would like to thank the staff for not putting the Hammurabian code in here for us to review over the weekend.
Yeah, not a problem.
No, I was going to ask for the redline version.
No,
sure. No.
I am happy to share it.
No, but I was going to ask. But I was going
to
ask a question. Usually, I know, like for the AIA documents, they usually when they come up with a new version, they give you the highlights of what the new version is, not the redline version. I was teasing about that. Is there like some type of highlight version with when they make these amendments of 2018?
Well, there are code books.
Okay.
If I were to remit to you the differences between 2003 and 2018, I would literally be turning over thousands of pages of documents.
Okay.
These are books that are available for public inspection at any time. We have them at the Village Hall, and so we can make those available. I don't think they're easily findable online because you have to purchase them.
Right.
And so I think, you know, to the extent that there's anything we want to point out that's substantial, we'll certainly highlight that. But the, you know, for our purposes here, the audience that's going to be the most interested in this is your building audience.
your building. So we're going to let those people know that this is what we're doing. This is when the change is coming through. If they have any concerns, we'll publish all of this. They're going to be most interested, I think, Kurt, correct me if I'm wrong, in the local amendments because they're already used to 2018. And so we will be very transparent about what those local amendments are. They're already in your board packet, and we will continue to make those available in an easily findable place on the website so no one has to go searching through a board packet. So that'll be part of our communication strategy with the public on that.
Okay. And I was only asking to address the question that I think Kathy raised was, is there anything financial that's going to impact, you know, residents, et cetera, with the new rules? So if they had some highlighting amendments or something that refers to fees or something along the lines. That's why I was asking.
Sure. Yeah. So, yeah, it does not modify any of our permit fees. That is something that I do think we need to study, but that's relative to the budget more so than this. And the other thing I would note is the more updated our codes are, the better resident insurance rates will be because we're requiring a built environment that's up to more modern standards. Currently, our codes get people a discount already. This, we would anticipate we'd get them a bigger discount. So on the one hand, yes, it, nobody likes having to have somebody come in and say, no, those things have to tie together differently than how you've already had them built. I understand nobody likes that. At the same time, it ensures that you're living in a safe building, and insurance companies recognize that, and it's reflected in your rate.
Lisa, I'm curious how often we should be looking at our building codes. I feel like the past few years, we've been saying, oh, yeah, we need to update our code. We need to update our code. This is a 15-year gap. Should we be looking at that a little more frequently?
Yes. The short answer is yes. And so that's something that we would propose to do on a more frequent basis going forward. I don't think every 3 years is necessary, but I think something between 3 and 9 is reasonable, right? Somewhere around 6 is probably the sweet spot because the longer you go, the bigger lift it is to get this off the ground. Part of the reason this gets gotten kicked down the road is just the capacity to undertake this type of work is significant. And so we're at a point, I think, Kurt's pending retirement, God bless him, it's definitely lit a fire to go ahead and get this done.
No pun intended, right?
Exactly. So I think the time is right, but I agree with you. Going forward, doing this in a more contemporary fashion is appropriate.
Okay, stop. All right. So we'll move on to our last and final item, which is 8D, and this is appointments and reappointments of the village department heads. So if I can get a trustee to move all three names and then a second.
Motion to concur with the recommendation. Motion to give advice and consent to the village president department head appointments for items 8D-1, 8D-3, all terms are ending 5/12/2025.
Is that the right? Are we looking at 8C or 6A?
AD.
Yeah,
we're
at
8D.
8D.
So, motion to give advice and consent to the village president's department head appointment for items number 8D1 through 8D3.
Right.
Correct.
All terms ending 5/12.
So you moved it, and who you seconded?
Right? Yeah.
So they are, Finance Director Rosemary McAdams, Police Chief, Chief O'Shea, and then Director of Public Works and Development Services, Jeff Foster. And then later on we'll address the fire and village administrators. But for now, these are the three. So any questions regarding this appointment? Hearing none, I'd ask the clerk to please take the vote.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Okay. That was good. Congratulations. We're happy you got reappointed. I don't know what we would have done if you didn't.
They look so excited.
We have cake and coffee, but it's COVID, so we can't do that.
They're smiling under their masks.
Good point.
No, there's the rays. That wasn't that good. Okay, so I know what you're saying behind me. All right, so make sure
motion to adjourn.
Okay.
Second.
All right. All right.
Trustee Bochner?
Yes.
Trustee Gillis?
Yes.
Trustee Vasquez?
Yes.
Trustee Brennan?
Yes.
Trustee Johnson?
Yes.
Trustee O'Connell?
Yes.
Meeting adjourned.
Okay, very good. Thank you.